Welcome to Power Play. It was news conference day for the Prime Minister. We will find out how Justin Trudeau is planning to deal with the toughest issues this fall. Also had a rocky relationship the Liberals vowed to fix was with Canada's First Nations. We have the National Chief coming on to size up a relationship, which is still a bit bumpy. And it's Alzheimer's Action Day in Canada and around the world, and we have the poignant story from a high-profile MP about the struggle to cope with her newlywed husband's recent diagnosis. My conversation with Lisa Raitt is just ahead. And he's won 6 out of every 10 campaigns he's managed at every political level for 5 decades. The wizard of the war room, the man called The Lash, is standing by to discuss his new book containing the secrets on what it takes to win. But first, Chinese Premier Li has arrived in Ottawa. The second in command of the world's superpower arrives in a time of considerable controversy as Canada moves to negotiate an extradition treaty. It would remove fugitives from Canada to China, a country where the justice system can be ruthless or deadly. Here's a taste of how it rolled out in question period today, starting with official opposition leader Ron Ambrose.
The Liberals confirmed they're in negotiations on an extradition treaty with China, a country whose justice system has one of the worst human rights records in the world. Our allies, like Australia, the US, and New Zealand, don't have treaties of this type with China. And just last month, the immigration minister said that this was off the table. So has there been a change in China's human rights record? What exactly changed between now and then? And why is the Prime Minister not being straight up with Canadians?
After 10 years of a government that was hot and cold with the world's second largest economy, we have created a dialogue that allows us to deal with difficult issues and deliver on priorities for Canadians, whether they be consular cases or whether they be investment opportunities for Canadian businesses and small and medium-sized businesses across the country accessing the Chinese consumer market. The fact is Canada has extraordinarily high standards for extradition treaties, and those will always be upheld with anyone around the world.
Okay, to discuss the rapidly evolving relationship with China and how it could impact on human rights, we're joined by Sophie Richardson. She's the China Director at Human Rights Watch, and she joins us from Toronto. Sophie, why should an extradition treaty with China be a human rights concern?
Well, you know, whether you decide to send somebody back, regardless of whether you have an extradition treaty, really depends on whether a person has had a chance in court to make the case that they face a well-founded fear of persecution or ill treatment. And both we and the Canadian government have documented in great detail the kinds of abuses that people regularly face in China's judicial system. And those are the concerns that the Canadian government is going to have to address, regardless of whether it proceeds with this treaty.
Right. But if we get assurances from China and if we return refugees to face what we're told will be a due process and humane treatment, I mean, how do you monitor to ensure that they're honoring their word?
Right. Diplomatic assurances really don't go very far. They don't cut much ice. And, you know, it really depends on whether the government of Canada is willing to commit the resources, both the actual ones and the political ones, to trying to monitor all of the cases of people who might hypothetically be sent back under a treaty. And the reality is that the Chinese government is very hostile to the scrutiny of others, of people inside its borders. And so it's hard to imagine China agreeing to any kind of monitoring once people have been sent back.
Yeah, good point. And I'm also curious, given that most major democracies do not have an extradition treaty with China, is it really a make or break deal to a friendship or a thawing of this relationship?
No, I don't think it is. And, you know, it's interesting to hear the Prime Minister's remarks in Parliament this afternoon. You know, he's talking about what Canada can do with respect to the relationship, but he's not really addressing the fact that the human rights situation inside China has deteriorated significantly under President Xi Jinping and Li Keqiang. And Canada has to figure out how to respond to that effectively, not give in and, you know, give China the opportunity to say to other countries, Canada has accepted, you know, our legal system as it is. Why won't you?
Mm-hmm. You watch China closely. I'm curious. Do they play the game of say deporting a detained citizen as a peace offering to get an extradition treaty before, or is this a new tactic that you haven't seen used before? Or well, is it a tactic at all?
I can't say in great, I don't have the facts about Kevin Garrett's case, for example. But suffice it to say that the Chinese government is a highly transactional regime. It does what it wants that's in its interests. It doesn't give anything away for free, and it demands a lot in return.
All right. Now, the Globe and Mail says that there's these Chinese agents in Canada. They're trying to coerce fugitives to come back. I really can't imagine they'd get on a plane unless there was a gun at their head. But does this surprise you at all?
Not at all. And look, we saw this around the Lai Chongqing case. So nobody should be surprised that this is happening again. The return of people the Chinese government considers economic fugitives or corrupt officials is a major political imperative at home. And it is determined to get these people sent back, regardless of whether they have committed anything that even remotely resembles a crime. What worries me the most about the prospect of an extradition treaty is that on some level, it means that Canada is dignifying what the Chinese government determines to be a crime. And that's a very, very broad spectrum of behavior, much of it protected under international law.
I guess the bottom line here I'm trying to get to is how close can Canada get to China for trading and economic development purposes without getting burned as sort of feeding in human rights victims? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think, it's very difficult for China to become the kind of partner that Canada and others want it to be unless and until it has a free press, it tolerates peaceful criticism, it has an independent judicial system. Those are the elements that make for a healthy trade relationship and a functional diplomatic relationship, as well as a better human rights record. They're not two different things.
Sophie Richardson, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us.
Happy to do so.
Okay. Improving the Indigenous people's relationship was a campaign cornerstone for the Liberals last year at this time. Now there are rumbles and grumbles from First Nations. We will get a checkup on the connection with Canada's national chief right after these messages. Please stay with us. Canada's Indigenous leaders joined the honeymoon hallelujah chorus as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau pledged to create a nation-to-nation relationship last winter and spring. There are several issues perhaps testing that relationship a bit. Assembly of First Nations National Chief Perry Bellegarde joins me in the studio to give us the latest. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Don.
Bit of a kerfuffle over the Site C Dam in northern British Columbia. Got the go-ahead from the Trudeau government. Treaty 8 First Nations are not very happy. What's the issue here?
Basically, Don, the issue with Site C is that you've got First Nations that have historically hunted, fished, trapped, gathered medicines, but more importantly, a lot of their loved ones are buried throughout that valley. So with Site C, they're going to be flooding an entire valley, and that's the issue. So they're not going to be able to continue their avocation of hunting, fishing, or trapping, or gathering. So you're going to displace almost peoples. So that's the issue that people don't get.
So Trudeau government goes ahead and gives them the permit to go ahead and start building. Wasn't that a bit of a betrayal of that nation-to-nation relationship then?
Yeah, no question. We lift up the Prime Minister and Cabinet on certain issues and files, that they're moving ahead. So it's a balance. Certain things are doing great. On other things, they need to do work, right? So it's a balancing thing. So with Site C, though, we've got a Chief's resolution to support the Treaty 8 First Nations, And so we're supporting them, both politically, and they have a core challenge. So we would just ask things to be slowed down, do a reassessment, do a review, because it is going to hurt inherent rights and treaty rights.
I'm hard-pressed to understand why they wouldn't consult or let this process take its course before sort of green-lighting it. Can you understand that?
I don't understand that. We've got this duty to consult and accommodate, as recognized Supreme Court of Canada, and now we have the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which speaks to free, prior, and informed consent. Those should be recognized and respected. I can't figure out why either. But the message is simple to governments, both federal, provincial, and industry, that before you try to build anything, build a respectful relationship with Indigenous peoples. And then things can maybe possibly be worked out. But don't just plow ahead unilaterally. But that's when you get conflict.
This is sort of the first test, though, and they failed.
In this regard, yes.
optimistic that's a one-off, or do you think there's
Well, there's still time, Don. There's still time. There's a court challenge. There's still time that things can be slowed down, and there should be a proper review. Mm-hmm. You know, it's. I've said before publicly, it's, yes, we have the UN Declaration, but we also have Canada's own constitution, you know, that governments aren't even respecting, because Section 35, it states, existing Aboriginal and treaty rights are recognized and affirmed. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful statement. So follow your own constitution. Don't breach it and break these rights.
Well, we're on the West Coast talking about that. There's pipeline issues, as you know. The Prime Minister said today Northern Gateway could still go ahead, but not through the great bare rainforest. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned that it sounds like one of those pipelines is going to go west, and there's certainly a divided opinion among First Nations, but there is a lot of First Nation concerns. What needs to be done to make sure that everyone's on the same page here?
Proper processes and tables for dialogue. You got to bring all the parties together and work this out. Because even in First Nations country, we have oil and gas producing First Nations that say, hey, we want to get our resources to market.